Each and every time I hear or read the Passion narrative, my heart sinks and a knot tenses up in my stomach. I guess I thought that over the years of hearing and reading this story over and over again, it would lose some of its power. That through telling it, I might become desensitized to the gravity of the story. But that has not been the case thus far. Palm Sunday and each Good Friday, I am gripped by the remembrance of the crucifixion, even though I would prefer to skate through this week unscathed. But we can't skate through this week unscathed if we are bold enough to be here and enter fully into this journey with Christ. As we re-enter this story, it marks us and molds us. We feel the guilt, the sorrow, the despair. We want to cry out, "Foul!" or "Stop!" This time, this year, don't let this happen. Don't let this life be extinguished. Can't you see, Judas, that this will be the undoing of you? Can't you see, Peter, that what he said will come to be? We want to intervene and let Pilate know that if he opened his eyes, he would see that the truth he is searching for is standing right in front of him. And yet we know this must be. We know we can't intervene. We won't intervene. In the retelling of the Passion of Christ, we are made keenly aware of our place in this story. And that's why it has such a grip on our hearts and on our souls. And we are brave to be here. It takes a certain amount of courage to allow ourselves to come here and face our own sinful nature, to be a part of this story. This is not a comfortable time. These are not comfortable words. The reality of the crucifixion is gripping and gut-wrenching, but we cannot be spared this moment if we truly walk with Christ. One of the many pithy statements that appears on bumper stickers and Facebook pages, one that perhaps sums up our current cultural attitude, is this: life is short. Eat dessert first. Let's just skip to the good part. Let's avoid the messiness and pain. No Brussels sprouts or beets, just truffles and torts. No Good Friday, just Easter. But we are here, in the midst of the messiness and pain, the agony and suffering. We know that in order to get to Easter, we must first go here and allow ourselves to be racked with guilt. But we also know that through this event, through this life-giving act of love, our own guilt is removed as well. For now, there's a deep sense of emptiness, as if all is lost. The knot that was in our chests as we heard the story of Christ giving up his life for us is now replaced with a large gaping hole. There is a void, a sense of nothingness, and we ask, what now? What are we to do now? The King of Love has once again been crucified, is once again dead. Now what? Now we pray. We pray for every part of the world, for those in power and authority around the world, for those who suffer, for those who are lost, for ourselves and those we love. We pray that we will be restored and remember that the world and the church and everyone in it will be made new on Easter morning. In our prayers, we begin to feel the void being filled. In our petitions, we begin to know that even in the midst of death, there is life. And even in the midst of despair, there is hope. We know that we must go through this to get to the other side. There is no sidestepping. We cannot have dessert first, but we will have it in good time. Thanks be to God. Amen.